To give you a very warm welcome. It's lovely to see everyone who's come along to the gospel meeting this evening on such a cold night. I'll tell you, it's far colder down here than it is in Kipmuir Hill. As we were coming the back road and in the darkness, the temperature was dropping pretty quickly, but it's good to see all those who have taken the time to come along, and we're sure that God will bless you for coming. Now, I want to look at three passages of God's word tonight. The first one being in the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, and chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, and we'll read from verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, that's the Lord Jesus, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Into the book of Jonah, please. That's over in the Old Testament part of our Bible, the book of Jonah, and we're going to read a bit about Jonah from chapter number 1 and 2 into chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 1 and verse 1 says this, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the weirs that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. Verse 13. And we're going to miss out a wee bit concerning the storm, but there's a great storm affects this boat, and Jonah and his companions, well, they do what they can. Verse 13 says this, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea was wrought, and was tempestuous against them. Verse 15, So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, Jonah then prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Verse 9, Jonah speaking, he says, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, And the same as what was said the first time. Now, lastly, in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14, and from verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered them and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And they said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, that was a bit of a lengthy reading tonight, we know that, but we do give God thanks for his word and to what is contained in it. And we look to him to bless it to us this evening. We're living in a day when what men and women say is considered a very important thing. You, like me, will have noticed the current economic climate. That's, I think, the phrase they use today, that our country is in, and great leaders say great things. And things that men say are taken and written down, and over the past couple of weeks, our leaders of our country and other countries, they've been referring back to what many great men said in past days, and some have been saying, this is what they've said, and this is where we should go, but others are saying, you can't use that word, and you can't use that experience that they had then and place it now, because so many things are different. But we keep trawling through the things of history and the things that were written down before. Winston Churchill was a great man, a great leader of our country, and time again, in different circumstances of life, you'll find that men bring out what such a man as Winston Churchill has said. Queen Victoria too is another one of our land that's sometimes quoted. But not only great men. I noticed too in the back of my newspaper that when some sportsman says something that's of interest, well, everybody just longs and waits just to see what he's about to say. They're paid a lot of money these days, and some of them are very talented and can do tremendous things. And film stars and superstars, as far as men and women and boys and girls are concerned, are captured and captivated with the things that men would say. And we pay great attention to it. But these men in time go and times move on, and sometimes the things that they say are not recorded. Well, we've read three stories from God's Word tonight. Three true and actual events that took place. You'll have noticed something that links the three of them. All three of them are with regards to the sea. All three of them are with regards to a storm. All three of them, you could say, involved men. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight as such. I want to, in the gospel meeting here, think of the three things that are so important and absolutely up to date today in this meeting about three things that were said in these circumstances. Then we read in Mark chapter 4, we read there concerning the disciples in this ship, in this storm. And we read there something very solemn. It says this, that they said to the Lord Jesus, we perish. Now I want to think about that just very simply tonight, about the fact that they understood something very serious, that they were about to perish. But then we read about Jonah. A great Sunday school story, a great story for the boys and girls, and a great story that we've been brought up with all our days. And here is Jonah, a man who was spoken to by God, who went and done his own thing, but came to an appreciation that salvation was of the Lord. Salvation was of the Lord. But then we read about a man called Peter in another boat, in another storm. And Peter is going very simply to cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I want to think of these three things as time will allow us this evening in the gospel. The first story that we read was in Mark chapter 4, didn't we? We read there concerning the disciples in the ship. Now, I've not been to New Cumnock very often, and I only know some in the meeting here tonight. But I wonder just very simply if at the outset of our gathering we can once again just remind ourselves that before God, as we're in our seats, as we've come to the gospel meeting again, no matter your age or your background, where you've come from, what your history is in this place before, whether you've been brought up here or you've moved here, that each and every one of us was born into the world with a problem of sin. We're not going to get away from that fact. We can't avoid it. No matter your age, background, whatever, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and came short of the glory of the standard of God. And that's what marks you and that's what marks me. A falling short of God's standard because of sin. And that sin, presently in your life, if you're not saved, if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, can I say very kindly and gently to you tonight, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. You see, where the Lord Jesus is presently in heaven, sin cannot enter there. And we say very tenderly and lovingly tonight, for that is the reason why we're here, that God hates your sin, but He loves you all the same. That's a wonderful thing to get a hold of. It's a thing I can't fully explain. It's a thing I've understood from a little boy. But even although I understood it and I never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, it would have stopped me from being in heaven. God loves me, but He hates my sin. God wants me to have salvation, but I'll never enter heaven unless I'm saved. And that, very simply, is what we want to understand from this little portion tonight. You know, these were fishermen that were out in the sea. Fishermen that were in a boat. If there was any people there that understood how to work their way through a storm, how they were to handle the waves, how they were to handle their craft, it was these fishermen. And there came the point when not only the waves came in, and not only the sea came in, we read there in the boat, read there in the verse that the boat was now filled. It was full. The water had come up. The boat was in danger of going down. And one thing these men understood, in that condition and in that situation, no one else could help. All their efforts were pointless. It was fruitless. They couldn't do it of themselves. And they turned round and they said to the Lord Jesus, who was asleep in the boat, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They perish. Can I just ask you tonight, with all tenderness and love for your never dying soul, are you aware that in having your sins unforgiven, you're ready to perish? You're perishing before a righteous and a holy God. The disciples actually, when they spoke to the Lord Jesus, said a very strange thing. They said unto Him, carest thou not that we perish? I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus just for a minute. He was a man who was marked by absolute care for others in His life. It wouldn't have mattered who it was that came to him, he would have blessed them. Many sick people came and he healed them. Many blind people came, he restored their sight. When the lepers came, he took the leprosy away. When he saw the lame man, he restored him back to his feet again. And so on, many times throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus has been marked by being full of care. The Bible tells us that there was a day when the Lord Jesus had been teaching the people, and the people hungered. And the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. So great was his care, his love, his affection towards men and women and boys and girls. He was a caring Saviour. He was a caring man on earth. And let me tell you as well, there is a God in heaven tonight who cares all about you. Now he knows all about the very intimate details of your life. Some just young in age. Some in here middle-aged. Older age. I don't know your background. God knows everything about you. Your life to him is like an open book. Nothing hid. And God cares so much for you that he sent his Son into the world to be your Saviour. That's what we read in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "This, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." These men cried out that day, "We perish." Here is God's answer to you this evening, still in your sins. You need not perish, for he sent his Son to the cross at Calvary that he might take your sin and my sin, that he might bear the punishment that God would have paid for sin. And the Lord Jesus at Calvary died on a cross for you and for me, that we might not perish. And the wonderful thing is this, about this little story. These men that cried, "Lord, we perish." And he got up, and he rebuked the wind, and he rebuked the waves, and there was immediate calm, and they went on their way safely. Now, what about your life tonight? What about the trouble and the weight of sin? You'll know in the quietness of your own thoughts, you've understood very simply you need to be saved. And you need to be right with God. And it's spoken time and time again to you. God's Spirit has spoken to you time and time again. And you know that there is that point that you must get to where you just lay everything before God and cry for help. And that's what these men did. They turned to none other. They knew they were ready to perish. And they cried to the Saviour for help. And he saved them. They perish not. That is offered. That is salvation that waits for you tonight, if you'll only come and trust in him. But then we read about Jonah, as we move on very quickly. One of the things I wanted to note with Jonah was this, that God spoke to him where he was. God had a message for Jonah, very simply. It was this: there is a country and a nation of people in Nineveh, and he knows all about their wickedness, and he has to go with a message from God. But I suppose Jonah's like you, and I know Jonah's very much like me. We don't really like being told what to do. Well, I don't really anyway, if I'm honest. And Jonah set his mind very simply to go the exact opposite way from what God would have him to go. That's why we read there in verse 3, it says this, after God has spoken to him, but Jonah rose up. Verse number 5, but Jonah went down into the sides of the ship. And Jonah is a man here that's trying to run from God. God has a message. God has something that Jonah must understand. And Jonah decides that he's going to turn his back on the voice of God and go in the exact opposite direction. We touched on it a minute ago. You'll know how often God has spoken to you. Only you will know how often the voice of God has been in the quietness of the night. Maybe in circumstances that have come into your life and it has been devastating and it's caused you just to stop for a moment and you began to wonder and ponder eternal issues, and you know that sin keeps you from heaven. You know there's a Saviour that died for you. You know that on the cross He took your place, and you know you need to be saved and should be saved. But as of yet, like Jonah, you've closed your ear. You've turned yourself away, and you've moved out and moved on, and you've not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Something else I noticed in this little incident with Jonah was this, that he had quite a few friends that were round about him in the ship. And while they were in that storm and in that ship, his friends tried to offload the cargo to make the journey safer. And they tried to lower the mast, and they tried to row harder, and they tried to do everything by themselves to get to the destination they were going. But very soon they realised this, that their own efforts and their own persuasions would result in absolutely nothing. And Jonah is going to be cast over, and God will still have dealings with Jonah. You see, Jonah is going to be brought to the point as this, that Jonah will realise that the salvation from the situation he is in will not be of himself or his friends or his companions in the ship. He will get to that point right in the dark depths of this great fish. Salvation is found alone in the Lord. Now I wonder, I don't suppose that even in the villages and towns in which we live, and even in the gospel meeting this night, I don't suppose there's a single person in here that doesn't want to be in heaven. Your interest here would tell me you have an interest in salvation. Your visit here tonight would tell me that you have an interest in being in heaven one day. And good works and own efforts and gospel hall attendance and Sunday school attendance and the register and the name in the register of the church or anywhere else, the place of worship you'll go, will never get you one step closer to God's heaven. We must understand tonight, very simply, that as in the first instance we perish if we're still in our sins, that tonight salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes alone from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a little verse in Acts chapter 4, and it says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. But listen about a verse in Hebrews chapter number 2. It says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to just let you dwell on that for a moment. Simply understanding in our sins we are perishing, and that there is salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But then the Hebrew writer takes his pen and he says this, as he ponders the great gift of salvation that's on offer, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, if I do something wrong in the law of our land, I won't escape it. Let me tell you an instance. I get caught in a speed camera again for the third time. Say that not in proud boast, but in shame. In my car, what makes it worse, there is a speed camera detector. So really, I should be able to go about the countryside and not be caught at all. So I have the very thing there that tells me what I need to avoid, the penalty. And in three occasions, I've not used it. I had turned it down. I had switched it off. And I'd done wrong. I broke the law. And the letter came in. There's a fine and a penalty to be paid. And if I had left that letter alone, I would have got another warning. And if I ignored the second warning, then the chap would have come to the door. And I'd have been before the judge to answer for the wrongs that I had done. You see, there would have been no escape. Nobody would just have said, let him off and let it be. And if so, with the speed camera and the law of our land, do you honestly think, standing before God, never having repented of sin, somehow we'll just get into heaven? No, dear friend, no. I switched the equipment off to my folly in the car. In God's word, it tells us very clearly, there is salvation in none other. You will never get to heaven unless you trust in Christ. Have your sins forgiven. Here we have the word of God. His book is there, and the instructions in it are how to get to heaven. How to have our sins forgiven. And if we reject and say no, very simply, we will stand before God as your judge, who will condemn us forever out of his presence, to a lost, long eternity. Lastly, we read concerning Peter. What a situation he got himself into. He looked all around about him in the difficulty he was in. He saw the wind and the waves and the storm. Oh, he had the right intentions to go to the Lord Jesus. Oh, he started out well. And then he looked at the waves. And he was distracted by the wind. And he took his eye off Christ and getting to him. And he began to sink. I wonder how many people have maybe started out in a night like this with desires to be saved. And when we're at that all important point, suddenly family and friends, maybe image in a village, and maybe weighing up the cost, it was all too much. And as yet not saved. Listen, Peter got to that point where he started to go under the waves. And he knew it was important and he knew it was serious. And he cried out, I'll tell you, there was no great sermon for Peter. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know what I like about that cry? It says immediately, the Lord Jesus put forth his hand and took him out and into the ship. That same cry of Peter's that day is the same cry you can make. That same swiftness and cry for help you can take. And the Lord Jesus who heard Peter that day will hear your cry. The Lord Jesus who saved Peter that day from the storm will save you from your sin. Immediate, there's no delay. The great thing about salvation is this, it will be immediate. The minute a person comes, listen to a little verse from the Bible, it says this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise. It's not might be saved, or could be saved, or in a few days or weeks time will be saved. No, no, no. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we close, first cry, first thing to understand, Master, Lord, we perish. Second thing is this. Salvation is of the Lord. What would be good tonight if somebody, young or old, could say, Lord, save me. And be like Peter, know that great deliverance out of the storm. Shall we pray? their God and their Father, for thy goodness to us this day. We give thee thanks. Thou knowest all about our gathering. Thou knowest the hearts of all. We trust tonight that some, through the work of thy Spirit and through the reading of thy word, might understand their great need. How awful, our God, it would be should some have heard the gospel and die in their sins and perish for all eternity. We do thank thee that we very clearly understand salvation is not of the folks here, but it is of thyself. We thank thee for the work of Calvary. We thank thee, our God, that for those who would cry out for salvation and cry to be saved, thou wilt save them, thou wilt keep them, thou wilt give them eternal life. We commit each and every one to thee. We remember those who would love to have been here and are laid aside. We remember those who are going through difficult times at this time. Many are sick. Some, our God, are closing in at the end of their day of service. We ask for thy blessing to be upon them, in the Saviour's name. Amen.